CliffCentral.com.
All right. CliffCentral.com on a Tuesday morning. That's Forrester, all my days, and all your days have just begun if you've been at work. By the way, I didn't say this at the start of the new year for us yesterday, but for all those people who've been working the whole way through, massive respect and thank you, because you kept the lights on during the holidays, which remarkably Eskom managed to do. I don't know if you had, we had, I think there were 2 days where there was 2 hours or so that we didn't have power, but mostly, I'm touching wood as I say this to you, mostly, I don't want to jinx it, Eskom seemed to be getting their act together, and load shedding seems to be on the decline, but I'm not going to count my chickens before they've hatched.
Yeah, there were talks of it on this side, and I remember we thought, okay, yeah, we might need to worry, but no, there was nothing. Mm-hmm.
So a couple of points that have been raised. It's great to have JJ Cornish on, and Kerry says she loves African analysis, so thank you, Kerry. Tracy says, you know what's interesting? We're part of BRICS, but China had a vaccine, so does Russia, Brazil, and India. So what the hell are we still doing in BRICS if we're the only country that doesn't get any? Well, it's because we're like a pathetic junior partner in BRICS. I know our government, the ANC, think that when we go to BRICS, we're hobnobbing with the real nations of the future. And in some ways, obviously, those countries are. But we're such a minnow compared to them. We're swimming in the same sea, but we're not taken seriously. I mean, Russia, India, Brazil, and China are monsters compared to us. And we're like their charity project. So let's not get carried away there. Janet has an interesting story here about how much school uniforms cost. My nephew, she says, starts high school. My sister-in-law went to get his uniform yesterday without the tracksuit. I didn't know if you still needed those, but clearly you do. Without the tracksuit, it comes to 6,000 Rand. That's ridiculous. I mean, I'm just blown away. She says, we've got a daughter who attends a cottage school, which is down the road, so she doesn't have to wear a uniform. But imagine the parents of two or more kids. I mean, that's like 12 grand if you've got two children, just to get the uniform sorted out. Wow. How do parents manage?
Yeah, and that's the least of your costs and your worries. Because then your kid is in the school, and then there's school fees, and then there's sports equipment,
and then there's trips. Tours. And yeah, absolutely. And then they sometimes say, well, we need to do this for the library, so we need to raise some money. And it's just never ending. So, I mean, listen, again, if you're a parent going into 2021 wondering about how you're going to pay for things, I'm right there with you. I think it's crazy, and it's just seems to me very unfair that people are expected to just pull money out of I don't know where in a year where there's just no extra money lying around. All right, so lots of things to get into this morning. I don't know if you saw this story, but Jack Ma is apparently missing. The billionaire, the Chinese billionaire, the guy who started Alibaba. Apparently, he criticized China's regulatory system. You know, China, I've just got to say, because while we're still able to say what we think on the internet, and before
they get their claws in our backs as well.
Because China has this system where, you know, there's social points, and if you say things that the government don't like, they just shut you down. You can't buy things, you can't go to places. Basically, they lock down your life. And I mean that with no sense of obvious irony. But the Chinese, man, the most rotten people. I watched this, and I don't mean the people of China. I mean the government of China, obviously. Let me be very clear about this. I watched this amazing interview on 60 Minutes Australia. Mm-hmm. And the clip opens up. It's only about 3 minutes long. The clip opens up with this guy who has been in intelligence studying the relationship that China has with every other country in the world for the last 10 to 20 years. And he says that there is no doubt that part of the reason, and China has a huge price to pay, and they should pay a huge price for their recklessness in starting this pandemic. Because remember, that's where it began. It is the Wuhan virus, whether they like to call it anything else or not. And that's become so politicized. But China must pay for this because their reputation should take an enormous knock. And I know the WHO, who they own, basically, have gone to extraordinary lengths to say that China's done the right thing and that they've behaved responsibly and they've set new standards. They haven't. Don't believe a word of it. Australia is trying to stand up to China because Chinese government officials are really turning the screws on them from a trade point of view in order to continue to exert influence on the Australian government to keep on saying the right thing. But let me tell you something. If you still believe that China are the good guys, you have been completely asleep or comatose for at least the last 5 years. And this, we're all living in Chairman Xi's world, whether we like it or not now, because all of this started with China. And now the whole world, except for China, ironically, which should tell you the whole story, the whole world is living a very different life compared to the one that we were living at this time last year. Thanks to what? Thanks to the way the Chinese handled this in the very beginning.
So I want to bring up another point when it comes to accountability, but I'll bring it up after just breaking down this Jack Ma story. I'm still stuck between two sides with this story of it's a non-story and everyone is just blowing it out of way out of proportion. But then on the other hand, it was trending globally for the whole day yesterday and the day before that. Why wouldn't Jack Ma or Alibaba have said anything if really things are fine?
Yeah.
But yeah.
So what's the story? He hasn't been seen and he hasn't said anything and he hasn't been in public for weeks now. It's been a long time.
He hasn't been seen publicly. Let me just get the date right. I think it was October last year. Yeah. Well, his last tweet was on the 10th of October last year. And then he hasn't made any public sightings since then. The speech that people are pinning has got him into trouble was made on the 24th of October. That's when he delivered it in Beijing, and he spoke about how China has this regulation system that is stifling innovation and likened global banking rules to an old people's club. He says that today's financial system is the legacy of the industrial age. And in more words, he basically said that China. It doesn't want companies to be too big that they're out of their control. So they just want, you know, people to be within their reach, under their hands.
They want to be able to exert control whenever they need to. And they do not like anybody criticizing them. They're extremely prickly. It's kind of like that guy at school who's not popular, but he's really touchy about it. That's how China is in the world. And if China wants to lead the world, and everybody's talking about how this is going to be the Chinese age and all the rest of it, listen, I have enormous respect for Chinese productivity, resourcefulness, the ability for that country to make something happen. I mean, it's just incredible. If the people of China and the government of China decide to do something, it happens, which is admirable in so many ways. But at the same time, this is not a free and fair society. No opposition is tolerated. The party controls everything. Yeah. If you like totalitarianism and if you like dictatorships, you can go ahead and praise them to the hills. But I'm not going to be joining in on that chorus, and there's no way you're going to get me to. Alex says, ever since a Chinese publication started calling the new variant of the coronavirus the Africa variant, I've started calling the virus the China virus.
Sketchy. So it's been 2 months since Jack Ma has been seen. Look, he wasn't the biggest socialite in the world to begin with, but 2 months is a big thing. And what got a lot of people talking was actually Jack Ma's show that he has. He has a talent show called Africa's Business Heroes. African entrepreneurs get to enter and they have a bunch of challenges that they compete in, and the winner ends up receiving $1.5 million. Jack is one of the judges of the show, and right for the finale, which was in November, he wasn't part of the show, and his team just kept on saying, oh no, there's a schedule conflict. I mean, his own show that he plans and works for. Now there's a schedule conflict. And then ever since then, there's been not a peep, not a poop from him. And people are now saying, well, actually, where is he?
You cannot trust the Chinese government at all about anything. In fact, if they tell you something, chances are it is exactly the opposite of true. If they deny something, you know for a fact it's happened. So we'll wait and see. But I mean, Jack Ma is just an extraordinary human being. He is an example of someone who, despite all that regulation and despite all the stupidity of that government, has managed to make a success of himself. And he's made a success of his business worldwide. And it continues to be one of those businesses which we should all be interested in. Alibaba is just terrific. I've used them before, and I can't say enough good things about them. But I'm afraid that country, until it is able to reestablish its reputation for truth and honesty and not for propaganda and lies, is going to remain a skunk of the world, in the words of Nelson Mandela, for the things that it hasn't done and for the things that it has and that it tries to hide from us. I just don't believe them. Sorry.
So, Gareth, humor me with this for a moment. I might just be bitter because I'm bitter or annoyed that we're in this situation right now. When it comes to accountability, yes, I don't think China should get off scot-free, but while we were on the break, I saw now she's become a bit of a blogger and an influencer. One of the people who was in the original group that came from Italy back into South Africa with the virus. And I say blogger and influencer because now she now posts about lifestyle, and she has contracted the virus for the second time now.
Who is this?
And she's trying to, what is her name? I'll find her account as
when I hear when I hear influencer, I start going. I stop listening, but maybe I should.
Well,
know this
my
person.
Point is, we now know at least one of their names. Shouldn't there be a sense of accountability or some level of accountability for these people who brought it into the country?
Sure.
If she's now making a bit of a career out of this,
we should kick her out of the country.
I mean, excuse me, I want something to be said or done for these people who brought this into the country.
I totally agree with you. First of all, I don't want to hear some person's boring story of dealing with the virus. Everybody's going to have their story eventually. It's going to be boring. It's like, you know, there's this meme going around of like these reality TV show judges, and then the contestant goes, well, when I was born, I was a baby. And they all like burst out into tears because obviously everyone has a story. Listen, unless you die from coronavirus, in which case, obviously, I'm deeply sympathetic to you and your family because no one wants that to happen. Unless you do that, it's just like the flu. I don't want to hear about it. Thank you. I don't want to hear about it. I'm not interested in your, nobody should be, because it's not that interesting. Oh, you had some headaches. Oh, you felt, you had, your throat was sore. Oh, you couldn't smell or taste. Where? Nobody cares.
So if, look, I'll put that disclaimer. This is something that I was sent by my friends. If it's not official, then I take full responsibility of it. But it's at Living Corona Positive. That's her Instagram handle now.
Jeez, that's what she actually calls herself, Living with Corona now. Living Corona Positive. Jesus.
Living Corona Positive. She's tested for the coronavirus for the second time, and she now just blogs about it. She calls herself a life and business coach and health and wellness.
I have to question the sanity and the intelligence of people who would follow someone like that. So I have nothing more to say about it. Screw you, honey. This is an interesting point. Somebody says, what has happened to Jack Ma's stock in Alibaba since the story broke? Well, I just had a look now, and Alibaba's tanking. It's made a small recovery in the last few days, but generally the stock has been on a decline, a sharp decline from November. It was dropping from about $350 a share right down to, I think we're currently at 210. So yeah, it's sorry, 227 is where it is at the moment, but it's not good. It's not where it was before. So it's dropped significantly. We'll have to see what happens. So, by the way, yesterday I spoke about Bitcoin and I said I was thinking of maybe cashing out because Bitcoin is on it. Well, guess what happened yesterday? It did come down from $33,000 to about $31,000 at the moment and dropping. So I'm not saying I called it because obviously it could still go up, but that's very, very interesting. And timing in the markets is everything unless you're going to spend time in the markets, as Anthea Gardner always used to tell us. So we'll probably speak.
Are you a little annoyed to cash out?
No, I'm very glad I did. I actually did. So look, in the big scheme of things, it's not a massive drop. I mean, it's still very much more valuable. If I'd sold today, I wouldn't have necessarily lost as much money as it, you know, previously. In if I'd sold like a month or two ago, I would still be better off today. But I think that you've got to make that call for yourself. And I see a lot of people are starting to dump theirs. This by no means is financial advice, by the way. But I see Bitcoin is now at 31,000. So it's not looking too bad, but it certainly isn't where it was 2 days ago. We'll see what happens.
Put that disclaimer out there.
No, of course. No. I don't want anyone to think I'm the place to go for financial advice. We've got people like Sean Sanders, who we speak to regularly. Apple stocks took a tumble yesterday, too, by about 3 or 4%. So I don't know what's going on there. But we'll keep an eye on these things. Peter says, who does an influencer actually influence? That's a very good question. You want to have a shot at that, Sia?
No. Is this meant to be philosophical?
No. Look, I want them to find Jack Ma. Jack Ma's an influencer. I'd like to find out what's happened to him. I don't care about this girl you were talking about just a minute ago.
Yeah, the whole model of influencing in any case isn't, in my opinion, based on what it should be based on. It isn't about how many products of what you took a photo of are actually bought. It's based on how many people clicked on the photo, how many people liked the photo, how many people commented on the photo. It's less about how many products actually shipped, but about eyes that saw the product. And anyway, if that works for a company and they have the budget for it, go for gold and pay people. If it doesn't, then oh well.
Right.
Yeah.
Peter, I don't know the answer to what who the people are that influencers actually influence, because I haven't met any of them. Tracy says, when I hear influencer, I hear professional beggar. They always want something for nothing, or their currency is exposure. Please just stop it. Tracy, that's the best definition, so thank you. Tracy's answering Peter's question. Influencer is just a professional beggar. You know, I know someone like that. She manages to sponge off of anybody and everybody in her life. And she's not a horrible person. She's just never, ever the person who reaches for her wallet when it comes to the bill being paid. She's always happy to go to friends. She'll never do this to me because she won't get away with it. But she'll go to friends and she'll say, oh, can I stay for the weekend? Or can I borrow your car? Or can I have a packet of cigarettes? Or do you mind if I just grab a beer from the fridge, or whatever else it is that she wants? She just helps herself to everything. There are people in the world who are like that in reality. And online, they're called influencers. So I think Tracy's on the money there.
I don't know. It's in your making, hey. If you can do that, you can do it. I almost coil up inside if I had to ask people.
I get
things.
Very uncomfortable. I mean, thank God, you know, when we do it on the show, it has to be part of the conversation when we bring in sponsors and clients, because I think also radio has always been like that, so people are sort of more used to it. But if I had to if I had to beg for that stuff online, geez, I don't think I'd be able to do it, hey. So I do have some admiration for those people. They just have very thick skin.
One of the first few things someone told me when I started working was, you're now getting into a world where the more money you make, the less things you actually have to buy with that money, because people give you stuff. And I'm like, what is this? Yeah, because people offer you things, and then you go, but there's no such thing as a free lunch. I have to go to that lunch.
Do you
then
know?
Then I take a photo of how great the lunch is.
Exactly. So, Sia, do you know people who can't resist a freebie? I know some people like that.
Yes.
They are obsessed.
People literally just take like a hand cream at the table just because it's free.
Right.
Yeah.
And some people who they'll drive right across town to go to an event. I mean, this is in the days where events were a thing, so we're talking pre-COVID. But people would go to an event just for a goodie bag, which was usually filled with, like, I don't know, you could probably buy all the shit in there for R100 or whatever. But they would go just because it was for free. They were obsessed with it. I mean, I'm talking not poor people. I'm not talking about people who are desperate. I'm talking about people who they have money. They could go and buy this stuff for themselves, but the idea of getting it for free is so exciting to them that is the reason that they're motivated to do something. Freebie whores. They love themselves a freebie.
Just a few weeks ago, I know of someone who attended a virtual event, mm-hmm. and part of the event was you'd get ingredients delivered to you, to your house, and you'd cook along with a chef. They didn't even attend the event.
No.
They didn't even cook along, but they just loved the idea that they were going to get free groceries. I'm like, this is
right.
No, like, there's no need for this.
You know what? We should never, ever blame just the influencer. Who the hell are these people picking the influencers? Mm. I want to know who's in charge, who's created this.
I'll have a stab at that. I think it's really dumb people in marketing in companies. Really, really dumb people who have been, because usually, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, we've dealt with brilliant marketers. There are some people who are shining lights in the industry who know exactly what they're doing. And you probably know who they are if you've been in marketing in South Africa, because there are only a handful of them, but they're really good at what they do. The rest of them are bottom feeders. They are usually, the marketing department is staffed by the people who are least competent and least intelligent. Companies usually pack their marketing departments with underperformers, because that's one place you can hide them. You know, marketing, it's hard to quantify. It's hard to be able to say whether or not marketing worked, even with all the means, in inverted commas, that they have these days of calculating return on investment and all of that stuff. But a lot of people can hide in the marketing department. You don't have to be fantastic at your job. You know, if you fail at finance, if you can't balance the books, if you are in the production line and you don't produce the goods, if you're in management, you know, top management, not the kind of middle rungs, and you don't do your job, it's very obvious when those people aren't doing their job. But in marketing, you can sometimes hide people. And as a result, some of these people, just by virtue of being there for a long time, have been promoted out of their level of competence. And they are the people who feed this stuff. And maybe Ben has something to say about this. I know he's got opinions on all of these things. And by the way, Ben, listen, congratulations. I know you guys, Ben Karpinski, everybody, because Ben, we haven't had on the show for a little while. But I know that you guys and your business, Match Kit, was named by Heavy Chef as one of the top 5 startups of last year, which was amazing. Well done, Ben. Well done.
Ben, what's wrong with your video?
Yeah, good question, Willetta. You guys want to be on this funny webinar jam thing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying, guys. It's it wouldn't let me put a video option on earlier. You just shake your head at me and Balilla.
Top left, Ben. There's a little camera icon. Try and press it.
Yes, you gonks. I know. I can read the screen. It just won't let me use my camera.
Okay.
Sorry, Ben. Didn't mean to get you emotional this early in the morning.
No, we didn't mean to get you riled up. Sorry, guys, Ben.
Very
touchy. Sorry. Look, I don't mean to be aggressive. It's a new year. I'm actually quite happy. I'm going to just do this. Ecstatics, yeah. I met my office at 7:28.
You met what?
I'm at my office at 7:28. How exciting is that?
No, that's very impressive. Wow. Yeah. All right, so don't worry about the video. We don't need it. So listen, first of all, I mean, congrats on Match Kit being named one of Heavy Chef's top five startups. That's a big deal. And how's business how's business going?
Like, absolutely amazing company to be in with that as well, like actual massive entrepreneurial startups. And we're in there.
Very good. Do you agree with me when I was talking about marketing people just a minute ago, that a lot of them are bottom feeders and that they are the people who often are responsible for creating this influencer world that Bulelo and Sia and I don't have a lot of respect for?
Well, I know, but like, there's something that it's just like Sia and strippers. You guys sometimes have to actually alter your views on things. So you must understand why the influencer world is a thing that it is, because broadcast mainstream media world broke down because it was horseshit.
Yes.
So ultimately, all these new platforms popped up, and with that becomes new structures and new sort of pillars of influence. So I think a lot of the time, you know, it's very difficult to find influencers, but everyone has to do it because that's just where people's eyeballs are. It's very simple.
Right.
You know, it's like we're all products of this new influencer thing. Like, Gareth, you're a massive influencer. Sia, you're an incredible influencer. Valera, you're a niche influencer. And all it takes is for people like you to suddenly lose integrity and ethics, and it gives the whole thing a bad name. You know, like you were saying about people driving across town to get a goodie bag with like a sample roll-on and a lip ice. Yeah, that's definitely the bad side of it. I totally agree with you on that. But people also want stuff for free because ultimately currency is a relative thing, right? Why must I pay for something I can get for free? Ultimately, that's the same as money. So people do these things for good reasons too.
And yeah. You know, Ben, there is this disconnect, though, that I know you can speak from on the other side, but I'll speak candidly from my experience. There were times when some people would approach me and they'd be like, hey, there's this campaign we're running. We want this and this and this. Because, of course, you appeal to the young black urban market.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is, at first I used to want to fight it, and then I go, actually, Sia, you cash in that invoice and you go on with your day. You are not here to teach and convert people. But people still want to think very traditionally.
It's because we've got a lot of people who've just never thought outside of the parameters of what they do. So they just do what the people before them did. And even though the whole market's changed, and as Ben rightly points out, the media environment has changed so significantly, some people are still applying the old rules to that market.
Yeah, exactly. And Sia, look, a lot of the time is for people who are influencers and people who are, let's take it back a step, content creators and people that you want to follow on the internet. That's time consuming, right? So you need some sort of revenue remuneration or some sort of trade-off. Like, I used to do a lot of stuff, sports stuff online, which took hours and hours, and people seem to enjoy it. But like, where's the return for me? People's smiling faces isn't the only currency that I need. I need also like stuff. Right. I need trips. I need amazing gifts. I need experiences. So I got sucked into that for sure. But I was quite consistent. It was mostly sports and golf and cars.
Mm.
But like, you know, there's always got to be a value proposition. This is the thing about life. From the original person who had sex for money right until today, everyone needs a value proposition, right?
Yeah.
Oh, what if I get a timeline?
Yeah, but it's true, though. So I mean, Ben, there's got to be give and take in life.
I just want to quickly go back to a story that we've been talking about, and we were talking about before you came on. But Jack Ma is in the news. Obviously, people are saying he's disappeared. And Mr. Schmangels says, I hope he's still alive because those dickbags killed in the Chinese government because they don't, you know, the Chinese government obviously have taken people out before. I mean, where was that doctor at the beginning of coronavirus who had lots to say and they tried to shut him up? There was a woman who managed to escape, and she told the story too about how she tried to warn everybody about the coronavirus and they tried to silence her. And if Jack Ma is in trouble, I mean, that government hate being embarrassed, the Chinese government. So I'm glad that you picked up on that too, Mr. Schmangels.
Yeah, but I mean, look, at this stage, if you think China's still your friend, you still think the ANC actually care about your life. I mean, there's certain things you've got to pay attention to in life.
No, you're just
an
idiot.
As simple as that.
China is
incredibly dangerous, and you know, people hate Donald Trump because popular, but at least he was the one guy to say to them, look, you dodgy motherfuckers, you guys can't just do all the shit that you want to do. And even though you own most of America's debt and therefore they're in your pocket, you can't be like this. But yeah, he's gone. So Kamala Harris and that puppet Biden will no doubt just sway to all their sort of demands soon.
No, you're spot on. I mean, there we are. Ben has just laid out his political feelings in one quick, one fell swoop. So, Ben, JP says the reason your camera's not working is because you got press stick on it. Don't lie.
Guys, should I just log out and log in again? Sorry, I don't mean to be I feel like I'm innovatively challenged here. I think I know what happened. I'm just going to quickly log out and log back in.
All right. Okay.
But otherwise, I'm going to get more comments of why has he got a black screen? Is it because he's ugly or...
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
All right, cool.
You are rattled. He is rattled right now.
I'm not rattled, Valelo. I just don't want to be the only dickhead without a fucking camera on me.
Everybody be very...
I'm trying to cause a fight. You are so aggressive.
Please, you've come on here. You've been the most aggressive person on the show this morning, Ben.
Here I am just trying to be... in fact, somebody in the holidays I was having a chat with was telling me, hey, listen, you're becoming more and more like your dad. What you need to do is lighten up a little, give people a little room. Not everybody wants to get up and train and beat this. Because I was talking to somebody about some discipline and actually having some, some drive in life. And she had a little bit of a, when water leaves people's eyes because you just deliver a moment of truth to them that they weren't ready.
In other words, you made her cry, you son of a bitch.
You're saying I said what I had to say, but she said, yeah, you're becoming like your dad, because my dad is like, oh, there we go.
Okay, there's Ben.
Yay.
All right, Ben, so now there you are. How are things going? How was your holiday? Give us an update. Did you do anything fun?
Yeah, mostly, Gareth, exactly how I planned it. I wanted to play golf and do very little else and actually have a proper relax because I looked at it last year that a lot of my old man aching back stories, I think it's actually stress related. So it's quite a bitter pill to swallow. But after seeing a whole bunch of specialists, I just hardened the fuck up a little bit. Worked a bit less, relaxed, stretched.
But Ben,
and I was actually really great.
This is a very obvious thing. People all over the world suffer from stress and they don't know why they've got physical pain or they've got mental issues. And it's got to do with the level of stress you put yourself under. This is true for millions of people all over the world. Bulela will also say that hardening the fuck up is a good thing.
I wasn't exactly soft. It's just I was working a lot and I was stressed and it manifested probably in my back. So look, I'll always have back issues because of my dodgy spine, but I'm completely functional and happy and not with huge pain.
What you're really annoyed by, and this is such a stupid rule, most golf clubs you can book to start playing golf at 6 in the morning, which is a nice time to play because it's quite cool in summer. So a lot of people, means you can leave your house at 5, you can get to the golf course, you can start playing at 6, tee off time. Now, they can't do that because of the stupid, bizarre, arbitrary, capricious curfew that Cyril put into play, which means that if you are on the road before 6 o'clock, you could be arrested, which is just... But I mean, it's so stupid. Gyms have to open up later for no good reason. All of this stuff is hardly, the way that this coronavirus spreads. So again, it's just nonsensical beyond belief. Yeah. But what does this mean for golfers? What time can you, what's the earliest tee off you can get?
Yeah, it's incredibly stupid. You know, there's various things. As you know, I'm a massive day drinker. So it's really great teeing off at 6:30 because you can already have a couple of drafts before 12.
Right.
And then the world's the oyster, really. You have so many options for a day. But yeah, Gareth, it's got massive ramifications because if you think about it, let's just hypothetically say that in an hour of play, you can go off the first and the 10th tee. Let's just say there's a 4-ball every 10 minutes. There's probably 8 or 7, but let's do it for simple math. So that means that there's 40, 80 people who aren't playing golf now in a prime spot. There's 80 people who aren't buying sandwiches, 80 people who aren't employing caddies, having drinks, and having drinks afterwards, and obviously using the club for other things like buying sunblock or, I don't know, a shirt. So suddenly you're taking away 80 high-net individuals from a company because of a stupid, just one hour of stupidity. Plus, I can't day drink, and no one can day drink anymore.
That's very sad. That you're making me very sad, Ben. can I just ask you, because the reason we were talking about the influencer thing before you came on is this woman called Living Corona Positive. Well, Bulelo just sent me her Instagram. What a stupid fucking idiot this person is. Their whole life is about living Corona Positive. I mean, I don't know what they would. What was she doing before that? And she's, I don't know, how old is she? She must be 30 something.
So
what do you know about her, Mbulela? Because this is the first time I've ever encountered this person, and I'm already annoyed.
I just Googled her, but Ben's always accused me of hating white women, but she looks exactly like the type of person who, oh my God, you guys, I just, you know, everything's just been, you know, spiritually speaking, I'm fine, but you know, I'm such a Virgo. She looks exactly like the type of person who broke up with Brett, moved to Thailand for that 6-month yoga course. She comes back with her trust fund, and oh my God, look at how enlightened I am. She is horrible. Megs, you are terrible.
Her name is Megs or something.
Well, yeah, a couple of things. Abelina, you do hate white women, but secondly, yes, does she realize that Corona's not like AIDS? You get positive, but then you don't have Corona anymore quite soon.
No, but it's like, you know, okay, so let me go. I don't want us to seem to be like we're being unfair about this person. Okay, but here, so I just looked at her blog. She's got 9,800 followers, which is not bad. And then she's got her first post is the COVID-19 2.0 timeline, which started in December. And she mentions like sore throat, headache and fever, congestion, fatigue, shortness of breath, which she spells breathe, and then feeling good again from the 11th. So she's busy giving us, like, I suppose some people might find this useful. And she talks about the medication she's been using, what she does to keep her life busy while she's got Corona, puzzles and Jenga and pamper sessions and books and coloring in. She talks about essential oils. Essential oils. Mbulelo, this is the girlfriend for you, my friend.
She's a shit house. You know, I was telling somebody 2 days ago. In fact, I'm meeting with Sia and Greg, and I said, even though it would affect me, what lockdown, one thing it's made me realize is that us middle and upper middle class people should have to stand in line and get a push club every day, each one of us, because we are shit houses. And Megs, I don't know who you are, but you're a shit house because this. By the way, Ben, she says I'm living Corona positive. So not like I'm, you know, it's not what you're thinking as in the medical positive. Positive in and around, spiritually speaking, because, you know, I met an Indian guy once in Cape Town and now I understand every chakra.
Well, guys, in many ways, then she's a genius because what she's done is she's taken the biggest talking points on the planet, probably will be for our lifetimes. She's used a medium that people engage with and she's put the two together to create a persona. So she's actually smarter than all of us right now because she's getting more attention living Corona positive because everybody's talking about Corona, right? So she's tapped onto the biggest trend. This is how it works.
That's smart.
Like Kim Kardashian. She's the Kardashian of Corona. So, fair enough.
So you can't hate on her for that then. She's doing what – if she hadn't filled the space, someone else will.
Mm-hmm. And people like this kind of stuff, unfortunately, because this is how we've become, I don't know, conditioned to look entertainment nowadays. Like, there are so many, like, Corona Karens out there who would love this woman because she's basically doing everything that they're thinking. We forget because we're quite rational people. Mm. And I don't mean to sound smug, but I think all the listeners will agree with us that we're quite smart in certain ways because we want to learn things and we adapt well.
I hope
so. We always have that on the show. But there are people out there who cannot wait for the next breaking news. Corona now means that you can only walk on your left foot every single day. So, and they will fucking do it.
Ben, just admit that, because you spent some time with the family, but your sister's a bit of a Corona Karen. We all have one in our families.
We all have one, sure. And the thing is, and she admits it. You know, she's living her best Corona life.
What kind of stuff does she do that you think is stupid?
Well, I mean, look, it's not nice to talk about people who aren't in the same room as you. But ultimately, I don't think my sister's unique, rare, or an anomaly. She is someone who is very concerned about the welfare of family and those around us. And due to a variety of things, you know, she takes comfort in paranoia, perhaps. She takes comfort in the fact that she has something to really worry about that takes her mind off other things.
For example, she's probably really happy that Cyril instituted another lockdown. And she probably...
No doubt.
And there are lots of people like her. There are lots of people who are very, very keen for this lockdown to stay for long and for it to become even more intense because they think that's going to save us.
Yeah, but it's this very strange thing, this lockdown. Gareth, I think it was you sent me something over WhatsApp about the fact that people just don't understand what lockdown is. And lockdown's great if you've got money. It's great. Like, oh, we're going to lock things down because, hey, we've got a fridge full of food. We've got a nice house. We've got all these great things. Like, it is, you know, talk about white privilege being an absolute thing. I think corona privilege should be the actual problem in this world because people calling for lockdowns, they actually understand, firstly, economics, or secondly, they don't understand people and they don't understand populations and how they work. It is the worst thing because it's like, okay, you are sort of, I mean, it's not even been proven, you're addressing this thing called the COVID-19, but you're forgetting every other aspect and ramification from that, which is 100 times worse. So that means you're stupid, you're lazy, and you're stupid again.
Well, Alex says, my mom is a COVID Karen. I'm really thinking of sabotaging her Facebook since I have her login. Yeah, go on, Alex, go on there and say that COVID is a hoax and the World Health Organization are wrong and nobody's died. Go on, I dare you.
Don't be a shit stirrer like that.
No,
Alex.
Do it. You know, I made the mistake. I do this from time to time. I punish myself by watching Sky News. Now, I think that's Sky News is like, I don't understand. Britain used to be this country that took the world forward. Now it's a country of fearful, old, sick, fat, and really stupid people. I mean, obviously there are exceptions, but Britain is just a disaster at the moment. If you watch Sky News, you would think that Armageddon is just around the corner. I mean, last night Boris Johnson went on, right? And this Boris Johnson, he goes on TV and he goes, right, well, okay, I'm sad to be doing this, but we're all going to have to lock down. It's going to be very serious. And meanwhile, the Scottish, with that horrible minister of theirs, what's her name? Nicola Sturgeon. She goes, oh, no, this is worse even than I could have imagined. And now we're going to have to lock everything down. It's all closed. Everything's fucking shut. Don't go out of your house. Don't go down the street. The pubs are closed. The Edinburgh Castle's closed. The lochs are closed. Fucking forget about it. Your life is shit. Just stay inside and eat a lollipop and don't share it with anyone because otherwise they'll die. That's kind of what she said. And then Boris goes on and he's like, well, you know, we've had a huge surge, massive second wave, massive, massive fucking second wave. And everybody's dying, everybody, because we're all old and sick and we've got to protect the NHS. And wow, what a mess that country is. Because Sky News from morning till night, and I only watch maybe 10 minutes just to give myself a bit of an adrenaline rush, and then I stop. You have to cut down on news if you want to be a happy person in this pandemic.
Gareth, the only reason you watch Sky News is to tap up on your spank tank about Kay Burley, and now she's off. So I thought I know why you watch.
No, Kay Burley's gone, so I don't watch for her, sadly. But I know you're a big fan of that old trout. Anyway.
On her sabbatical, it's in Africa.
She's here. She's in South Africa. She's
shouting at some poor person trying to change the sheets as we speak.
Yeah.
She's a godly woman, that. Wow. I mean, Mbalele, if you want to hate a woman, go with that one rather. Put all your energy into Kay Burley.
I know exactly who that is, and she is unbearable. She is the queen of them all.
Yeah, she's ghastly. That's a good word. So anyway, I turn it on, and there's this presenter who looks genuinely afraid. Like there's a fucking monster in the studio that's going to eat her. And you know, they've got that virus graphic that they use, which I know ENCA has used and SABC uses. It's the scary big, you know, like thing that keeps breaking up into little pieces. And the whole thing is designed because obviously Sky News' audience is old people because clearly that's who watches them. And it's all about, you know, will the government be able to get the right vaccines to the right people? I mean, they had a woman on yesterday who was 90-something years old, and then they had a teacher on. And this teacher's going, well, I'm genuinely afraid, and I can't go back to school because who knows who's got coronavirus, and I haven't even had a holiday, she says. I haven't even had a holiday. She's been so nervous about the coronavirus that she hasn't had a holiday. I mean, she's been on fucking holiday, this woman, since March last year. And she hasn't had a holiday.
Yeah. Well, it's history repeating itself. You know what happens when I mean the Roman Empire being a great example. When the empire gets too fat, this is what we get to, right? Is you know, Rome weren't ready for war at the time. They were, you know, yeah. blowing the cop. This is the UK now. Is they are so at largesse that any hint of any sort of strife. Oh my God! It's like this woman. I haven't been on holiday. You're 93. You've been on 80 holidays.
No, she wasn't 93. She was in her 30s, and she looks terrible for someone in her 30s. But she's a teacher.
No, she's British.
And she's done nothing.
Well, you won't hold that against her, right?
She's done nothing since March, but she's worried a lot. So she thinks worrying is a job and that's why she hasn't had a holiday. And I mean, there are people who genuinely like to worry about shit they can't do anything about. And then they blame the rest of us that they haven't had a holiday. It's just unbelievable.
So, Gareth, I told you this. I was with people in the holiday, and this girl started crying in the we were having this conversation when I was saying some things. Was I said, there is nothing more revolting to me, right? And I'm seeing it now, is in crisis, you get two different types of people. Is crisis, oh my God, shut it all down. Or, like all adults and all great people, you have to manage crisis.
Yeah.
I thought that was something perfectly reasonable to say. And
hang on. Let's go back to why you made her cry again, because people didn't understand that, and they
were. Is that like a bit of soft and vanilla misogyny in the morning to get you going? That's a wonderful thing. Oh, no. This girl, crying, obviously.
She's a lunatic. Just saying, look. I miss the notion of alpha, both female and male, is like. Just take control. Like, I'm so tired of be thoughtful and everybody deserves a voice. Like, no, 90% of us don't deserve a voice. Shut the hell up. Sit in the corner. You're not helping anyone. Because in any sort of strife time, you panic. I don't need that. That's how I was starting the conversation. And then the girl said, yes, but what about people that are blah, blah, blah? I said, I don't want to hear it, because people that complain at the beginning, they're going to do nothing through the process, and it's not going to get any better.
So,
I don't care.
So this is a perfect place to bring in the article that I actually shared with Ben yesterday, and I'll send it to you. I'll put it up on Cliff Central because it's really interesting.
Yeah, really brilliant.
And it is full of citations, which will take you down a rabbit hole. I mean, there are articles to substantiate almost every single point that this person makes. Now, it's actually a reply to an academic article that was written by a guy about the sexuality of Generation Z, but that has nothing to do with it. The most interesting thing about this is that it basically goes into how horrible Generation Z's lives are, because they've got all of this abundance around them, but they had no part in creating it, and they don't understand how lucky they actually are. And they're unattractive, and they're sexually repressed, and there's a whole lot of stuff in that that I found pretty damn fascinating. I just want to read you a small part of it. Listen to this.
They're unattractive?
Listen to this. So I'll put it up. The girls, just listen to this. So obviously it goes into how the guys are fat, and they're lazy, and they are unambitious, and they have mental health issues. Because the numbers are just frightening. And we're talking about, obviously, the first world. So we're talking about countries like, you know, Northern Europe. We're talking about the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, places like that. They say that, you know, mental health is really just worse than it's ever been, because people are depressed and they have nothing to do. They have no purpose and meaning in their life. They have no God. They have no job. They still live with their parents. They eat fast food. They don't exercise. They wake up in the morning and they're a disaster. And then it goes on. But the girls themselves are not very attractive. Like the men, they have the highest obesity rate ever. Add to this the increase in unappealing grooming habits, such as dyeing their hair and cutting it short, having large tattoos and piercings, and the side effects from antidepressants and SSRIs, which are prescribed more frequently than ever, and which cause the loss of libido and behavioral changes. And you wind up with far less attractive women than before. Famously, Billie Eilish is a good example of this. Dead eyes, thin, bleach-burned hair in a garish color, visibly overweight at 18, and no intention whatsoever to dress well. In short, many of them don't care about pleasing men at all. Obviously, many young women are still attractive, but they're a far smaller percentage of young women than before. So the difficulty of attracting even a sub-30 BMI straight woman of average looks increases proportionately. overall, and again, obviously this goes for guys as well, but overall, having seen American Zoomers, I predict that the visa officials of Hungary, Colombia, and Thailand are going to be awfully busy in coming decades as those people try to find partners in other countries. Another factor in all of this is mental health. It's hard to attract a date when you are depressed and just want to lie in bed all day. And it goes on. I mean, this is really an interesting article. It talks about...
May I play devil's advocate here?
Just hold on, because you can. I want you to put up a defense for your generation in a second. But
good luck.
This is an amazing factor. Apparently, the U.S. Army is finding it increasingly difficult to find recruits who are not going to do damage to themselves in the army. In other words, people who are not mentally and physically in great condition and will actually positively do worse in the army than they will outside. It's just unbelievable. I mean, this is great. Listen to this. If a young person you know is less than 30 pounds overweight, has friends, is not on psychotropic drugs, and can hold a steady job, they are already ahead of the majority of their peers. Scary, scary stuff.
You know, Gareth, there was something else that was very interesting in the article. Sorry, Sia, before we get into you, although because you're a generation Zoomer, I'm sure you've zoned out already. It's that, you know, because people are either unsightly and really shitty, that they've got no sexual attraction, they're not having any sex whatsoever, then you get the people who are actually doing something with their life. They're slightly more promiscuous. Mm. So what it comes down to is that women are bitching about the fact that men are just absolute beta male useless nothings, or they're kind of players who just won't basically commit to them.
Yeah.
So there isn't a middle ground anymore.
There isn't a middle ground, and those women are finding it very hard to find.
It's quite a saddening thing, but...
Yeah, to find a man. And they also are increasingly calling themselves a lesbian or bisexual just because they don't want to have the responsibility of having to find a partner. And they actually are straight. Yeah, they just don't know it.
You'll probably rather get stuck into a bit of minge on a Friday than have to go on like a meaningless date that's not going to make you feel very good.
All right, Sia, go ahead. I know you've been listening to this with frustration.
No, not even. I just am playing devil's advocate. So by definition, Generation Z is born in mid to late 1990s. Mm-hmm. How is this different to any other generation before not understanding the next generation?
Good questions, yeah. And I often feel like, Gareth, I'm sure you'll have a better answer, but let me have a quick little bash at this. As I get older, mm-hmm. I think... Oh, the only reason I don't like that kind of stuff is because I'm older. It's like right now you can say, oh, music was always better because back when you were younger, you were just doing better things around music. But I genuinely believe, and the article goes into it, that average men have inferior wrist strength, actual grasping strength than their woman counterparts.
Yeah.
They've become so physically meek and shit that they can't even stand on their own 2 feet. Like it's a discernible change. See, like look at people, how athletic they were. The most average athletic person about 20 years ago would be seen as an Adonis nowadays, because all things are moving towards sedentary lifestyles and being so completely withdrawn from society. So it's a very good point, because often when you get old, you become quite smug and superior in your own mind, mostly because you're not as attractive anymore, so you try to make up for things other way. But still, generation is superior.
So let's use an objective name. Is it John's responsibility or John's fault for being born at a time where he doesn't have to pick up bricks
on
the side of the other?
Please don't get this wrong.
But
no.
This is just the life that he's born into.
Absolutely, you're right. But there are people...
Is a PS5 controller.
But that's not... So not everybody in Generation Z is doomed. Mm-hmm. The ones who...
What if they do find green hair attractive, just the same way people in the 60s
nobody
flowers based
on no one attractive. On earth finds green hair attractive ever. It's not a natural hair color. We are mammals. There is no mammal. There is no I'm not attracted to Billie Eilish. She looks like she looks like she died inside at the age of 6, and she looks like she fucked a garbage truck, but that's just me. So look,
yes.
Listen, the ones who get ahead, and this is always true. So there are going to be Generation Z people who grow up to be tremendously successful and who have their shit right. But they, what we're saying is that the majority of these people in the first world, and this is thankfully not our problem as much here in South Africa, but in the first world, these people are not having meaningful lives. They're not meeting someone who they can love. They're not having sex. They look terrible. They feel terrible. They're depressed the whole time. They don't have jobs. They live with their parents until their parents are octogenarians. It's just a bad scenario. And listen, you've got to read the tea leaves here. Like, this is something we've got to take take stock of, because we're living in this world and these people are all around us. So the ones who have discipline, the ones who have a purpose, the ones who have an idea and who work hard, those people will be tremendously happy and will have great lives, just like every generation's success stories have. But the overall narrative for young people in the Western world at the moment is not a very pretty one. And that comes from being coddled and spoiled.
This is a reach, I'll even admit it, but hey, we're throwing it in. What if this current generation is going through their version of the Great Depression? Things are confusing for them and messed up. If you went back to the times of the Great Depression, do you think there were people growing up going, I love the world and we will make it through? And what if they just need a few more years and they'll go into the roaring 20s and be great with their great hair? What if?
Hey, maybe. That's why I like to discuss these things on the show, because we get a bunch of different opinions, and maybe you're right. Maybe we'll look back at this and go, this is no different to any other generation, and these guys have got their challenges, but it's not as hard.
Yeah, that is a bit of a stretch. That is a bit of a stretch. Guys, before we go, I want to leave you with one thought on this. You know, Gareth, this is an article that you're going to share. People are going to read it, and they're either going to feel very triggered and like defensive about it, or they'll take some truth from it. But I think everything in 2021, like, the truth's going to come out about our lives, right? And I was thinking about it as I was reading this, is that people are quite defensive. So you must spend more time in life improving your position than defending your stance. You should really just take that and go with that, because people become this whole thing of like, I know what I know, I'm living my truth. But if you keep improving your position in life, suddenly you become so much smarter. And I think that, you know, just a takeout from this article is that people literally to their death are defending their positions in life right now. That's stupid. That's pretty stagnant.
Ben, you've nailed it. And part of this crying session this girl was having was when I really drove the nail home, was I said, because, you know, people are so conditioned to, everyone thinks that the first thing people want is for people to like them. I don't care if you like me. As I get older, my disconnect is this, is I don't care how you feel. I care what's true. Now, you being upset does not change what is objectively true. And there are methods to get to what we call Socratic or objective truth. So, you know, for me, perhaps I'm getting disconnected from young people who are more concerned with how they feel. As I'm getting into my 30s, I don't care how I feel. I'm old enough to go, yeah, you're a shithead. Deal with it, you know? I've got to deal with that instead of, oh, I feel this way, so immediately I'm somewhere, there's currency in being correct.
That's because you were raised strictly, and you often bring up how your parents raised you. That's not the case for a lot of kids now. Their parents are trying to be their best friend. They're trying to always have a good relationship with them. That's not the case for many people in Bula. And some parents are just shitty at their jobs and just don't even take an interest in their children. So you are the exception, not the rule. So the way you see the world is not the way most people see the world.
And I'm learning. And my friend said that to me. That's when she said, you're becoming like your father. The world isn't always like that. I said, okay, I'll give it some thought. I probably won't change that.
But she'll still keep crying, hey, Bolelo.
No, well, she wasn't the one crying. She's been a friend of mine for 25 years. It was her friend who thinks the world is centered around her feelings. All right.
Wow. Listen, this has been fun. Ben, I'm sorry that we brought you into all of our subjects. You probably had a whole bunch of stuff on your agenda you wanted to talk about, but we'll get you back on soon. And thanks.
No, I'm sorry that microphone isn't working.
No, fine. It sounds good. No problem.
Yeah. Anyway. It's always good to be here, guys. I'm very excited about this year. Hugely excited.
Yeah, me too. All right, then. So listen, we'll post the article that we're talking about with the blurb for today's podcast. I've sent it to Mbolelo, and hopefully you get to read it, and I'd like to have your thoughts on it, whether you agree or disagree. And as Ben says, if you're going to use this stuff to at least make your case stronger, then you're doing something good. And if it doesn't suit your narrative and you just choose to ignore it, that's fine too. It's totally up to you. But don't think you can enter an argument unarmed, because people will take you down. That's, if 2021 teaches us anything, it's that China must pay. It's that your argument has to be well-founded. And if you don't have evidence to back your arguments, then people are going to stop taking you seriously. And the propaganda, just, I think people are seeing through it, left, right, and center. And it's, the days of propaganda are over. So good luck if you think that that stuff still works.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, everybody. Have a happy day. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Ben.
6 a.m. bright and early. Make sure you're here. Cheers, everybody. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.